From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, Cliff, you Bergen, say help me, I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night, and time again transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with Mortimer Snerd, Effie Clinker, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Jack Kirkwood, Hans Conried, the Mellow Men, yours truly, John Heaston, and for our special guest, Sheila Graham, and traffic expert, Mr. Frank Kremmel. And now, here is Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America. Let's go to press. This is your Hollywood tattletaler, Luheta McCarthy.
Just a moment.
Yes, there's good dirt tonight.
Yeah.
Flash, what blonde actress really is? Flash again. Another flasheroo. Is it true that Liberace uses neon toothpaste? Exclusive! Did you know that John Wayne gets that square jaw of his by sleeping with his head in a shoebox?
All right. That's enough, Charlie. Ah, wait a minute. Now, what in the world are you doing here?
I'm rehearsing there. Yes, I was giving it a run through. It's a sample of the stuff I'm going to do on our program from now on.
Well, you a gossip reporter?
That's about the size of it, yeah.
Why, you don't even know what you're saying.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do.
How?
Well, I read your lips.
Oh, I see. But, Charlie...
Oh, Flash, Margaret O'Brien is not the mother of Pat O'Brien.
All right.
And now, an open postcard to Marilyn Monroe. Dear Marilyn... Yours truly, Charlie McCarthy.
All right. Charlie, in this column of yours, could you mention my name?
Well, certainly. Exclusive. Bergen and his hair have separated. His barber is trying for a reconciliation.
Oh, that's enough. Now, Charlie, I want to hear no more about your Hollywood gossip.
Okay. But I think it would make a hit on the program. It's news, you know.
Charlie, don't you know the difference between news and gossip?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
Well, if a man bites a dog, that's news.
That's correct,
yeah. And if the dog goes around telling everybody about it, that's gossip.
Yeah, that's... Well, there's no need to discuss it any further because we won't have any gossip on our program.
Is that final?
Yes, it is final, yes.
I see. It's too bad you killed off the gossip before I got to the very juiciest item of all.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
About whom?
Well, it's about you, that's whom.
Oh. Me? Well, what have you heard about me?
Well, I'm sorry, Bergen. If I told you, you see, that would be gossip.
Yes.
Surely you don't want me to gossip, do you?
Well, you might just be a good Joe sort of... Charlie, look at me.
My lips are sealed.
They are?
Oh, yes, they're sealed. Of course. With a few bucks, maybe they might develop a slow leak.
You don't really know anything.
Yes, I do. Now, if you don't slip me some change, I'll tell everybody about you and that hat check girl.
Hat check girl? I don't know any hat check girl.
Well, then, all right, I'll tell them about you and that nightclub singer.
I don't know any nightclub singer.
You don't?
No.
All right, I'll tell them about you and that dance hostess.
You wouldn't dare.
I knew I'd trap them sooner or later. Now, don't you worry, Bergen, I won't tell.
All right. You won't give me away.
No, who would have you?
I see.
Hello, Edgar.
Well, Sheila Graham, yes. Well, Charlie, this is Sheila Graham, the famous Hollywood columnist. How would you like to talk to her?
Oh, I see one of my competitors, eh? Well, at least we can exchange a few unpleasantries.
I see.
Charlie, I don't understand.
Well, Sheila, it seems that Charlie is writing his own column now.
Well, that's a switch.
Yeah.
A post writing a column.
Yes.
How you. How terribly, terribly. Okay, Sheila, that's enough of those Graham crackers.
Yeah.
I'll have you know that I have over 20 million readers in this country and 10 million abroad.
Oh, come now. Aren't you padding those figures a bit?
Well, most good figures are padded these days. but you should see some of the juicy items I got in my column. Look at this one right here. Is it true what you're saying about Trigger and the Flying Red Horse? They were seen the other night on Mulholland Drive holding tails.
Where do you get those items?
Well, I was up there myself doing a little horsing around. Oh. Just feast your eyes on this one. Read this one, Sheila. Get a load of that.
What married man was at what cafe last night with what glamour girl?
Drives them all nuts. They get worried, see? How is this item? What Hollywood mother of 19 children is suing her husband for neglect? Look at this one. How do you like that one? Read that one.
Is Francis the Mule a victim of typecasting?
Exclusive. The secret of how Marilyn Monroe got all those wonderful parts is all those wonderful parts. Well, Sheila, I got some sensational scoops, don't you think so?
Oh, they were all right. Tell me, do you read my column?
Oh, do I? Once I pick up your column, I just can't lay it down fast enough.
Oh, I know.
I have read meteor stuff in a Chinese fortune cookie. Now, that's...
Well, Charlie, I only write the news that's fit to print.
Now, look, Sheila, let's get down to business. What brings you here?
I'm looking for news, Charlie.
Oh?
Say, do you have any interesting items on Bergen?
Well, yes, Charlie, you promise.
What is it, Charlie? What is it?
See, she's anxious. Yes, I know. Well, I just wondered if you'd heard about a triangle Bergen was mixed up in?
Bergen mixed up in a triangle?
Yeah.
When was that?
When he was a few months old.
Oh, Charlie. Well, I can see I'm not going to get any items here. Goodbye.
Goodbye. There she goes. Blonde, lovely, has keyhole, will peek.
Yeah. I must admit that you had me worried there for a minute, Charlie.
Hello, Charlie, Edgar.
Well, Carol Richards. Hello.
Welcome back to Smogville, Carol. How did you enjoy your vacation, if you'll pardon the expression, in Florida?
Oh, I had a most wonderful time, and I bought some lovely clothes. Hey, how do you like this one? It's a Florida dress.
Well, it gives you quite a coastline, doesn't it? Especially around Miami Beach there. Jacksonville looks pretty good, too.
Yeah. The hotels down there, they're quite expensive, aren't they, Carol?
Oh, that's Bergen for you. The sexiest thing he can think of is about a dollar bill.
Oh. All right, sing, Carol, please.
Rice
is less expensive than diamonds.
Rice
is less expensive than pearls.
She'd rather have rice than pearls.
Shoes, old shoes, and rice.
is not as rare as a Rembrandt. Price is not as rare as perfume.
To get
for good health, for good eating. Enjoy a fresh green salad 7 days a week. Every salad should have iceberg head lettuce as the main ingredient. Right now, world-famous C7 head lettuce is being harvested in great quantity in the Salt River Valley of Arizona. Picked at the peak of perfection, it is rushed farm fresh daily under constant refrigeration to your favorite grocer. Regardless of where you live, you can enjoy a green salad with C7 head lettuce now and at big savings, too. Supply is good. Prices are low. Buy C7 iceberg head lettuce at your grocer's this week. It's the cream of the crop. And one thing more. If you're a Weight Watcher, head lettuce is nature's finest food for the calorie counter. C7 head lettuce gives you extra health without extra weight. Rich in vitamins and minerals, yet low in calories. A head lettuce salad will keep energy up, weight down. And now is the time of year to enjoy fresh green salads with this wonderful C7 head lettuce now being shipped from Arizona.
Love me or leave me, I'll always be homely. Oh, I'm a card.
Yeah, I am. Hello, Mortimer.
Oh, hello, hello there. Hello there, mister. Oh, mister, or let me see now.
Oh, come now. Your mind is wandering.
Well, that's okay. Leave it alone, it'll come home. Hickory dickory dock. I'm the card.
Yeah. Oh, now you remember me.
Yeah, I remember you, all right. I just can't seem to place me.
Oh, now. Well, I know you're not that stupid.
I come pretty close, though.
Yeah. How goes everything on the farm these days?
Well, I guess okay, you might say, if you ain't too particular.
I see.
Finally got it all fixed up after all them things the kids did on Halloween. Oh, they were really crazy, yeah.
What all did they do?
Yeah.
Hmm? I say, what all did... What did they do?
Well, they smeared paint all over everything around there. Oh, they're crazy kids. And then you know what they did? No. Well, they put the wagon on top of the barn. Yeah. And then, of course, they pushed over our isolation booth, you know. Oh, they're crazy kids.
Well, everything is back in place now.
Yeah. Johnny on the spot.
I see. New on the farm?
Well, we got a new garbage pail.
Yeah,
one of them polite kind.
A polite garbage pail?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah, I know. What do you mean, it's polite?
Well, you know what I mean. When I step on the little pedal there, you know, it tips his hat to me.
Oh, I see.
I like it, yeah. I sit and talk to it half hour at a time.
Is that... you get any... good information?
Oh, a lot of trash.
I say, oh. Well, now, do you have any new baby calves or ducks or anything?
Well, you know, my mama pig,
yeah,
she just had 14 little hoglets.
Hoglets, yeah. 14, that's quite a few.
Yes, it's good-sized family, yeah. Yes, it is. Certainly is that. Yes, sir. Well, when it gets around dinner time, I'll tell you. Yeah, well, it sure gets kind of crowded around her snack bar.
Yeah.
Mortimer?
Yeah?
Mortimer, now don't tell me that you're wearing cologne today.
Oh, yeah. You smell it?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well...
What fragrance is it?
Well, it's called High Heaven.
High Heaven?
Yeah. Because that's what it smells to. I...
Well, Mortimer, why? Why are you wearing cologne?
Oh, I don't know. Just for the smell of it, I guess.
Cologne and a new necktie.
Yeah, I'm spruced up.
Yeah. Well, what's causing all this?
Don't you know?
No.
Well, I'll tell you, it's L-U-V.
What?
Yeah.
L-U-V.
Yeah.
Love. Oh, love.
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah. A little old Dan Stupid has clobbered me.
Is that? So you're in love.
Yeah. I'm smit like I was never smut before, is
Well, you know, love does make life exciting, doesn't it?
Yeah. I ain't been so excited since I got my tongue froze to the pump handle, is that?
So Mortimer Snurd is beginning to notice girls.
Yeah, I reckon I'm starting to sow them a wild oatmeal, I think they say. As the saying goes, yeah.
Well, my advice is to be cautious, Mortimer.
Well,
yes. You know, a clever girl can make a fool of you.
Well, what have I got to lose, yes?
Well, tell me a little about her. Is she a blonde or is she a brunette?
Well, she's one of them brunettes.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
A brunette.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yes. And what about her eyes? I say, what about her eyes?
Oh, yeah, she's got two.
Yeah,
I see.
Pardon me for interrupting, Edgar.
Oh, yes.
But I've just got to meet this young man.
Well, of course, Sheila, this is Mortimer Snurd, and Mortimer, this is Sheila Graham.
Well, howdy. Glad to meet you.
The pleasure is all mine.
Well, okay, if you want to be a pig about it, all right.
Well, Sheila came over for an interview.
Oh, shucks, I ain't smart enough to interview her.
Well, I know that, but in that case, Mortimer, maybe you can give me something for my column.
Well, how much do you want for it?
No.
You're so cute, Mortimer. May I hold your hand?
Oh, it ain't very heavy. I think I can manage, thank you.
Mortimer, it isn't every day a pretty girl asks you to hold your hand.
Well, I know that, but she's almost too purdy, I see. Well, she's so purdy, first I looked at her, I thought my eyes was pulling my leg. Oh, I...
Thank you, Mortimer, but now tell me, were you an only child?
Yes, ma'am, I was a very small litter, you might say. I left home when I was 9 years old, too.
Why did you leave home?
On account of illness, ma'am.
Illness?
Yeah. My folks got sick of me.
Sheila, Mortimer, you know, he lives now with his grandpa in Snurdville.
Snurdville?
Yeah.
Is that a small town, Mortimer?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's so small that two automobiles make a traffic jam.
I can see this will make a very interesting interview.
Yeah.
And, of course, the high spot of it will be that Mortimer is in love.
Oh, you. How about that? I'm lovely, I'm engaged, I use saddle soap, yeah.
Mortimer, how did you happen to meet this girl?
Well, I saw her in the window, one of them big compartment stores downtown. And the first time I saw her in there, I sort of smiled, and she kind of smiled back at me, and that started it.
Well, what did you say to her?
Oh, I ain't said nothing yet. When I look at her, my tongue gets all pigeon-toed, and I can't talk.
Well, you say she's in a department store window?
Yeah, in the window in the top bar.
Is she demonstrating something?
Well, I think she's demonstrating how long she can stand still, I think. I don't know.
Mortimer, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but I'm afraid I've got bad news for you.
Oh?
Yes.
Oh, no. Now, don't tell me she went and fell for that smart aleck in there that tickles her with that feather duster.
No.
Well, if she stands in the window in the store, she's not a real girl. She has no life.
No, it's all right. I kind of like the quiet type. Yeah.
What I mean is, she's a mannequin.
She is not. She's a ladykin.
Yeah. You don't understand, Mortimer. She's a dummy.
Well, I don't care. I don't want no girl that's smarter than me.
All right.
But don't you see, she can't do anything. She can sew, she can cook, she can keep house for you.
Oh, boy, a regular modern girl.
How did you ever become so stupid?
Well, love can do it to anybody. Yes, yes.
Well, good night, Mortimer, and good night, Sheila, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Good night, Miss Dale.
Now, Mortimer...
Hello, Edgar.
Well, well, he said with surprise in his voice, Gary Crosby.
And look who's with you. Hello, Mortimer.
Oh, hello there, Mr. Mr.
Now, you know who I am, Shirley.
Oh, yeah, hello, Shirley.
No. No, no.
Oh. Shirley, no, no. Yeah. That's a funny name, Mr. No, no.
You're confused.
No, I'm Mortimer. You're No, no. Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Well, glad you're leaving. I mean, how did you do? Before you go, Gary, what are you going to sing for us tonight?
Same old Saturday night.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Yeah, go to it, Shirley.
Nah.
I went to see a movie show. Found myself an empty row. Thought the show was just all right. Same old Saturday night. And then I made the usual stop. Coffee down at the coffee shop. Friendly face nowhere in sight. Same old Saturday night. I really thought that the papers I bought would help me forget you for a while. Believe me, honey, the funnies weren't funny. They didn't even make me smile. Now I wish you would lift the phone. Fun is fun, but not alone. Till you let me hold you tight. Same old Saturday night. Oh yes, I really thought that the papers I bought would help me forget you for a while. Believe me, honey, the funnies weren't funny. They didn't even make me smile. Hey, how I wish you would lift up the phone. Fun is fun, but not alone. Till you let me hold you tight. Same old Saturday night. Only your face that same old Saturday night.
The Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sterd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, and Ray Noble will be back after station identification. From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sterd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston.
And now, here is Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
I see. It's a lot of dough, but if I play my cards right, maybe I can pry it loose from Bergen.
Charlie?
What
are you talking about, Charlie?
Well, you ought to know, Bergen. You're saying it.
Yeah, all right. I know you're cooking up something, but it isn't going to work. I can see right through you.
You can?
Yes.
Oh, goodness gracious. I should have worn a slip.
All right. All right, Charlie, out with it. What is it this time?
Well, the smiling Hibernian has a swell, stripped-down jalopy he wants to sell. It has at home a carefree, sideswiped appearance. You know that lived-in look.
Yeah.
And it's got low mileage, too. It was owned by a little old boy from Pasadena.
I I'm not interested.
But at 25, it's a steal. It's a, steal. Yeah. There's an idea.
There'll be none of that, Charlie. You can't drive a car until you know all the traffic rules and pass the driver's test.
Oh, can't I?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, I can't?
Yes. Let me ask you some of the traffic questions and see how many you can answer. Now, for instance, when does the pedestrian have the right of way over an automobile?
When he's in an ambulance.
Well... If a pedestrian is in a crosswalk and you're approaching, what do you do?
Is he a Democrat or a Republican? That.
What do you do?
Regardless, I blow my horn.
Yes. But suppose he doesn't hear it.
Well, that's life. Another day, another pedestrian.
Yes. What do you have to watch out for when you drive past a school?
Oh, the truant officer. Him, I don't want to miss.
No, I... Suppose two cars arrive at an intersection from different directions at the same speed at the same time. What then?
Photo finish.
Well, yeah. No. When you see a wavy double line in the middle of the road, what does it mean?
It means you got a snootful.
It doesn't. What if the driver ahead of you puts out his hand and holds it up? Now, what does that mean?
Is it a man or a woman?
What's the difference?
Oh, you haven't been driving long, have you, boy?
Just as I suspected, Charlie, not one answer is correct. How can I buy you a car when you couldn't possibly pass your driver's test?
Oh, no, huh?
Yeah.
I'm going down to the license bureau right now, Bergen, and I will show you. I'm positive I can get 100% on my driver's test.
Honest? Well, now, who brought that up? Yeah.
So long, Bergie. I'm on my way.
All right.
Yeah, here's the license bureau. I'll show that, Bergie. Hey, mister. Let's have some service around here. Come on. Let's get started. I want a driver's license.
Little man. I am only an humble employee of the public. You, the taxpayers, pay my salary.
Yeah.
So I have but one little request to make of you.
What's that?
Get your grubby little hands off my nice, clean desk!
Well, now that we understand each other... Wait a minute. Maybe you don't know who I am. I'm Charlie McCarthy.
Really? Well, for your information, I have burned better-looking things than you in my fireplace.
Pal, I've got one little thing to say to you.
This is not a car wash. Well, now that we are friends, let's see what I can do to foul up your application. Yeah. And this question, I think, will do it. How old are you?
How old do I have to be?
16 or over.
Well, I'm older.
Over what?
Older a barrel.
Well, come, now, how old are you?
Oh, put some more candles on my cake, Mother. I am 16 tonight.
16? Then how come you're so small?
Well, when you see, I was an incubator baby, and a nurse turned the heat up too high.
Very well. Age 35.
Yeah. Who, me?
No, that last joke.
Oh. Oh, you're as sharp as a tack. If I only had a hammer.
Yeah. Now, look, not whole. We don't have to proceed with this application any longer. Our driving examiner has his car outside with the motor running.
Yes, sir.
How would you like to go out and smell the exhaust pipe for a while?
After you, old boy. Now, look, bud, I know my rights. Now, let's get that application, boy.
Very well. But first you must take your motor vehicle driving oath.
Yes, sir.
Now repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly swear.
That I will drive only in safety zones.
That I will drive only in safety zones.
That I will never give hand signals.
Never give hand signals.
That when another car is coming right at me, I will see who turns chicken first. So help me, Fifth and Main Receiving Hospital.
So help me, now wait a minute. Listen, that really ain't the driving code.
Now you ain't really gonna get a license.
Why not?
There are enough dummies on the road now.
Clip you, sir, help me, I'll mow you down.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, sit back and relax as our very talented singing group, the Mellow Men, gang up on the richest man in the cemetery.
I don't want to be the richest man in the cemetery. I want to spend, I want to lend to any friend around. Don't want to wait till it's too late and I am 6 feet under the ground. I don't wanna be the richest man in the cemetery. To lose your health, obtaining wealth is certainly a scene. A fortune big, a birthday big, the moment rigor mortis sets in.
I wanna sing, I wanna dance, open the windows of my mind to enjoyment. Why should I fret or be upset? Why give my psychiatrist employment?
Though I sure don't got a million bucks in the barking account. I got my teeth, I got my air, I got my appetite. I never will take sleeping pill to go to sleep at night. Cause I don't plan to be the richest man in the cemetery.
I want to sing, I want to dance. The windows of my mind to enjoyment. Why should I fret or be upset? Why give my psychiatrist employment?
Though I sure don't got a million bucks in debunking a car. I got my teeth, I got my air, I got my appetite. I never will take sleeping pill to go to sleep at night. Cause I don't plan to be the richest man.
Oh, no, no, no.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie McCarthy has shown us a little of the humorous side of the nation's driving problem, but actually, it is a very serious matter. Each year, traffic accidents take an appalling toll of human lives. Can anything be done about it? To answer that question, we've invited one of the nation's leading authorities on traffic safety to be on our show. Here he is, Mr. Frank Kremmel.
Good evening, everybody. And hello, Edgar.
Well, good evening, Frank. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say that I'm doubly proud to have Frank Kremmel here with us tonight. Not only is he a fraternity brother and a classmate of mine from Northwestern University, but he has become one of the top experts in his field. And his accident prevention program developed at Traffic Institute, Northwestern University, has been adopted by cities all over the nation.
The Traffic Institute, which he founded, has already trained over 10,000 police officers, judges, driving instructors, and other officials, and extended service and assistance to over 110 cities throughout the country. He is here in Los Angeles to present the annual Traffic Law Enforcement Award of the International Association of Chiefs of Police to Mayor Polson and Chief Parker of Los Angeles Police Department. Frank, it's mighty good to see you again after all these years.
And it's wonderful to see you, Edgar. You haven't changed a bit since our college days.
Oh, thank you, Peg. Take another look now. You really mean that, don't you?
Yes. Well, you've got the same chin.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
The same nose, the yeah. same eyes, yeah. the same hair. Well, maybe you have changed a bit.
Yeah. Well, you remember our class yearbook. It said I would come out on top. Well, let's not bring that up again. We're here to discuss, I'm afraid, a serious subject, Frank, and that is traffic safety. Is the problem as serious, though, as we're led to believe?
I'll let you judge for yourself, Edgar. During the month of October, 3,400 people were killed in traffic accidents.
That's over 100 killed each day.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And we're on our way to about 38,000 deaths this year, in addition to which we will have 1.25 million non-fatal injuries, about 10% of which will result in some permanent incapacitation. In all, we have killed over 1 million people in automobile accidents in the U.S. since the advent of the automobile, about 50 years, and at the present rate, we'll kill the next 1 million in less than 25 years.
Makes one almost wonder if the invention of the automobile has actually been a benefit to mankind.
You may have a point there, Edgar. But while these casualties are frightening, this is only a part of the awful result of our traffic failures. The sociological impact is immeasurably great. The broken homes, public dependency, and delinquency that result from traffic accidents are incalculable.
And the economic loss, that must be tremendous, too.
Yes, it is. According to the most reliable figures we have, we suffer a total annual traffic loss of almost $8 billion. This money should be going into schools, hospitals, housing, scientific research, instead of going down the drain an absolute economic loss.
Well, now, this is where you come in, Frank. What can we do to stop this awful destruction?
Well, Edgar, if we intelligently applied everywhere what we know about traffic accident prevention, we could cut our losses in half, perhaps as much as two-thirds at once.
Well, if it can be cut in one half or two-thirds, what possible excuse can anyone have for not doing so?
Well, you're right, Edgar. There is no excuse. And we can diminish our accident rate because fundamentally these occurrences are not accidents, but caused occurrences. Most of these causes can be discovered by intelligent investigation and alleviated or eliminated.
Well, then we must depend on our traffic officials to a large degree.
Yes, we need courageous city and state traffic programs administered by specially trained officials, such as those trained at the Traffic Institute, and based on standard laws with complete cooperation between the various public agencies.
Now, what can we, the public, do, too?
Well, there must be informed and articulate, organized public support for such an official program.
Yeah.
Everybody is for improved traffic until he gets arrested, or she, or traffic is made a one-way route past his shop or office.
That changes the attitude. Then. Well, to get to some specifics, Frank, what are the greatest contributing factors to highway accidents?
I'm sorry to say that we don't really know. Mm-hmm. This because of the manner of gathering information. That is, from driver reports and police reports, most of which are still made without investigation of the accident. Undoubtedly, though, speed too fast for conditions, particularly at night, and intoxication are among the leading causes.
Well, those are not impossible to correct. What part does courtesy play in avoiding accidents?
Courtesy, of course, plays a great part, if we could only get it. Mm-hmm. Waiting for this solution seems to me like waiting for the millennium.
Is it true what men say about women drivers?
Well, yes and no. Mm-hmm. They are usually less skillful and therefore frequently annoying to the more skillful driver. Yet because of their inherent greater caution, women have fewer severe accidents.
Mm-hmm. What is ahead in the way of safety devices to be built in the cars?
We already have many available. Safety door latches, which are very important because so many injuries result from being thrown from the car. Shock-absorbing devices and materials in the interior of the car. And safety belts, which we recommend unquestionably, provided they meet standards. The traffic problem is an important part of a grand test of modern civilization and its people. A test of our ability to live with the machines and forces we have developed, from the automobile to the atom.
Frank, you've really given us a lot to think about, and thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Gary Crosby and 16 Tons.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and the back that's strong. Load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal. And the straw boss said, well, bless my soul, you load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by old mama line. Ain't no high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't and a lot of men died. I got one fist of iron, the other of steel. If the left one don't get you, well, the right one will. You load 16 ton, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe company store.
Ladies and gentlemen, ever keeping pace with that national do-it-yourself trend, once again we proudly present our own do-it-yourself department.
Professor Kirkwood's interesting and informative do-it-yourself topic for today will be how to make your own toupee. Here to brief you on the topic is the Scalparelli of the Scalp, our ambassador of good wool, the man who presides over the court of missing hairs. Professor Kirkwood. Almost went around you.
Friends, has your head and your hair had a falling out?
Is your hair real gone?
Does your head need a retread?
Do you have Western hair with a wide open spaces?
Has your widow's peak reached the back of your neck?
Your flowing locks, are they now just a trickle?
Does your hair live in a fringe area?
Then what you need is Professor Kirkwood's ear-to-ear carpeting. Remember our slogan, if you have a nude noggin, don't let people knock it. Wear a Kirkwood hairpiece and look like Davy Crockett. Are you listening, Bergen?
Yes, I am. Professor, I'm sure your talk today will be very interesting to most people, but I don't see how the subject could interest me in the slightest degree.
Brother, would television ruin that line? Now, look, Baldy Locks, don't go away.
Yeah.
Tonight, I won't just show you how to make toupees for your head. Hmm. Men, has the nest on your chest gone west? Then make one of my custom deluxe chest toupees. And you, too, can put up a good front.
I say, old boy, Professor, could you make a toupee for my chest?
Why, certainly. If you'll just point out where your chest is, I'll make you an estimate.
Well, I thought a chest toupee would make me look even more athletic than I am.
You athletic?
Why, certainly, old boy. How do you think I got this bill?
Malnutrition. You athletic. I haven't laughed so much as my wife fell off the back porch.
Please, Professor, let's get back to our subject. You do remember it.
Getting kind of anxious, aren't you, Curly?
No.
All you bald folks, why not look pompadourable again? Make yourself a dome doily, a scalp scarf, a forehead falsy.
Yes.
Yes, follow my instructions and I'll guarantee people can't tell who has the Tony or the phony.
Yeah. Just what materials do you use, Professor?
Well, I make some toupees from the upholstery off my old couch.
You do?
Yes. Right. That way my customers get mohair for their money. Oh. Gad, if my toupees only had the hair on them that my jokes have, I'd be all right.
I say, you know, is that where they got the idea for the song, "You Came to Me from Out of Mohair"?
No. Not at all. Oh, I hate him.
I say, Professor, look, if I made one of your toupees, how do I cut it when it gets shaggy?
Well, from the shape of your head, I'd use a pencil sharpener.
Ha, ha, ha. You slay me.
I thought of that too, boy.
Let us get back to the subject, Professor, please. Do you have any of your toupees with you?
Yeah, just look what's on my head.
Oh.
Now, you wouldn't believe it's a toupee, would you?
Well, no, you could hardly tell it from a wig.
Now, just a second, boy. I wore this toupee of mine to a dance the other night, and everybody said I was the handsomest man on the floor.
Really?
Of course, later on, when they stood me up, I didn't look so good.
I say, look here, old chap, Professor. Your toupee is such an unusual color. I mean, is that tint air?
Tint air? Boy, that happens to be orange pekoe stain. You see, when I haven't got it on my head, my wife uses it for a tea cozy.
But you keep wandering from the subject, Professor. What is the first step in making a toupee? That is the subject.
Yes,
a toupee.
Yes, indeed. Well, you take some mohair and you fasten it to a suitable material base.
Yes.
Any material is good that will shape to the head,
mm-hmm.
such as unborn cheesecloth.
Unborn cheesecloth.
You don't run into that every day, do you?
Oh, yes.
I see.
Now, remember, just don't make it out of awning material.
Oh?
I did it once, and every time the sun goes down, it rolls up.
Yes, go on, Professor.
He is anxious, isn't he? And then you get some knitting needles and knit the hairs into the base material.
You know how to knit, do you?
Oh, yeah. Well. But every time my wife sees me knit, she gets excited and thinks we're going to have a baby.
But look, Professor, when your toupee is finished, how do you get it to stay on?
Yes. Oh, you have to send for my glue-it-yourself kit.
Ah.
You see, what you need is a good paste in the head. Get it? Face in the head. I think it's time for another commercial.
Pardon me, Professor, but all through your talk, why do you keep looking at my head?
I was just thinking. I've seen more hair on bacon.
Yeah.
Now, see here, Kirkwood. Are you trying to start a rumor that I'm inclined to be bald?
Well, if the skin fits, put it on.
I see. Well, I'll admit my hairline is receding a bit, but I hear that continual brushing of the hair will make it grow back.
You brushing agree. Your hair?
Yeah.
That's like polishing brass on a sinking ship.
I see.
I say, you know, a friend of mine has been rubbing hair grower into his scalp for 3 years now.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Did it cure his baldness?
Well, actually, no, no. But he's got the hairiest fingers you ever saw.
Hairiest fingers, Jeff. Same thing happened to me. Well, I gotta be getting back to the shop now. I'm working on a wonderful new invention for bald-headed men.
What is it?
Bald-headed women. Oh. Good night, all.
Say, Bergen, how come you're in such fine fettle today?
Oh, I don't know, Charlie. I guess it's because the day got off to a good start.
Yeah? What happened?
What happened? Something nice, that's all. Someone did me an unexpected favor and said a few gentle words.
Well, that does sort of set a fellow up, doesn't it? Just like it says in the song. Listen.
Gentleness is welcome.
Isn't that a fact, Charlie? And you know, it's true of cigarettes as well as people. That's why, for months, all Philip Morris smokers have enjoyed a new cigarette made gentle for modern taste. With its gentle pleasure, its fresh, unfiltered flavor, new Philip Morris comes as a wonderful surprise to veteran smokers, gives today's young smokers just what they require in a cigarette. Born gentle, then refined to special gentleness in the making, new Philip Morris is everywhere now in a smart new red, white, and gold package. Why don't you try it?
Have a gentle Philip Morris made gentle for you.
Enjoy new Philip Morris, the gentle cigarette. Now, here is Edgar Bergen.
It's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. And here he is with Snurd's words for the birds.
Thank you. A rolling stone gathers momentum. Thank you.
Thank you, Mortimer. Until next Sunday, when our guest will be Jack Benny. So good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Sturd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Gary Crosby, Sheila Graham, Hans Conried, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose and Zeno Klinker. Incidentally, if you're listening to us in your car, take it easy and drive carefully. Take a tip from the truck drivers. They know the rules, and they drive by them. This is John Heaston speaking.